Luke chapter 9, and I don't hear so many pages turning because I actually got the scripture in time, so you already know where it's at, from the 28th to 36th verse. And while you're finding that, I had to go to a class here about church structure. And they said, you need to structure your services accordingly. If you do this and this, you need to make sure that you don't run church over. I said, with what, a truck? It was told that if this part of the service takes long, you'll have to tailor your sermon so that the service doesn't run long. I said, not where I come from. I said, we're going to have the whole thing. And they couldn't understand that. I think that's funny. Luke chapter 9, the Transfiguration. Beautiful set of verses. About 8 days after Jesus said this, when he was talking about the glory and the glory of the Father, he took Peter and John and James with him and went up to a mountain to pray. And as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared in glorious splendor talking with Jesus. They spoke about his departure, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were very sleepy, but when they became fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. And as the men were leaving Jesus, Peter said to him, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. He did not know what he was saying. While he was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and they were afraid as they entered the cloud, and a voice came from the cloud saying, This is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the voice had spoken, they found that Jesus was alone. The disciples kept this to themselves and told no one at that time what they had seen. May God add his blessings to this passage as we prepare to hear it. Let us come together and pray. Would you please join me? Father, break us open. The words that I speak today are not mine. They are yours and yours alone. I am merely an amplifier. Let it pour upon our hearts. Let our ears hear it. Let us become itching to know you further. Let us take the lesson learned here today and apply it to our lives and be not fearful of being in the world as Christians and be ready to take that walk as the week comes, strengthened knowing you. As we come closer to you, Father, and closer to your time when you will return to take us home. Let us set aside our labors and prepare for the lesson. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Have you ever come to a point when you got the answer to a question and you didn't know what to do at that point? Has something ever come upon you to that point where the answer came and you were shocked, you were stunned? Now, I know you're going to find it hard to believe, but at times I can be mischievous, maybe even bordering ornery at times. But I know, don't fault me on that. I know you find that hard to believe. But last year at a baseball game where my son was playing, as I was sitting in my easy chair reading a tractor magazine, a little boy came running up to me and he stood looking at me for the longest time. I couldn't resist. I just don't know what happened. The boy looked at me and the words he had, the question he had was, how come your belly's so big? That boy must have been about 5, 6 years old. I said, what? I folded my tractor magazine up. I said, what? He goes, he patted it. He goes, how come your belly is so big? Oh, I couldn't resist. Had to have a little fun. I looked at him for a minute. I said, it's because I ate too many vegetables. And he went, too many vegetables? I said, or little boys, I'm not sure which. And he stood there for the longest time and then backed slowly away. He didn't know what to do with the answer. All he's ever heard is you got to eat your vegetables. Then he comes up to me and I tell him I didn't eat all, I take too many vegetables. But where have you been at a point in time where you didn't know what to do with the answer? I'm serious. Have you ever been in that situation when the answer came and for a moment you were at a loss? I was on a mountain in West Virginia. It was a beautiful day. As I stood on top of this mountain in West Virginia, I literally looked down on other mountains. I saw clouds below me. I stood there just all taken in by the beauty of the Lord. And just the painting, you can't imagine. Everywhere I could see, the sky was crystal clear. It was blue. It was open to me. And I turned around and looked, and as I took a panoramic look, my eyes fell upon a woman. And suddenly my heart began to beat pretty fast. And I walked over to her, and I knelt down on one knee, and I said, "Would you marry me?" And she said, "Yes." And I didn't know what to do after that. The answer came, and I wasn't prepared. I couldn't get back up for a second. Of course, you know the rest of the story. I married her, and my life has not been the same since, thankfully. But as we look at the Scripture today, it's the Transfiguration Scripture, and everybody looks at it from the same point. And as you well know, I like to see if there's any other way to look at it, because God's Word opens itself to us in different points at different times while it continues to teach us the same thing. And so we see the beautiful story of the Transfiguration, and it makes me think how much praying I have been doing over the past several years since I fell and Christ picked me back up. I pray for everything. Everything. I don't know how to do anything else. I pray to have patience. I pray not to lose my patience. I pray that I won't fall into temptation. I pray to get me out of temptation. I pray that this morning will be good. I pray at the end of the day it wasn't so good. Let's have another chance at it tomorrow. And I get answered. Sometimes it's yes. Sometimes it's no. And sometimes it's keep asking. But the other side of it is, are you prepared for the answer? Prayer is very powerful. People say all the time, "Oh, well, I pray. You know, I pray, get me out of this. I pray for this. I pray." Do you understand the tool that you have been given? You know, if you had your handyman belt on, right over here goes a hammer. That's the most important tool in your belt. Right there is prayer. And people realize after a while how powerful it is, but a lot of people don't. It gets taken for granted, and then they don't know what to do when the answer comes. Where do I take this? Where do I go for this? This is a very powerful tool when we're praying. It ain't just for fun. It ain't just for a moment. It is because you have come to a point that you don't know where to go. And you're seeking an answer. Look at our scripture today. Go back to it. It's the story of the Transfiguration, and it is beautiful. Can you imagine being one of them three and seeing that take place? 1 minute there was Jesus Christ, same normal flesh and blood man, and the next minute, what's the Bible say? Bright as a flash of lightning. And two men, Moses and Elijah, appeared with him. Now let's stop right there. Had I been there, and had I seen the first part take place, I would have already been primed to head in the other direction. And to have seen them two suddenly appear, that would have finished it. There would have been a dust trail going down a mountain. But there they were, and Peter and John and James stood in amazement. If you look at the rest of that scripture, you start to get the feeling that they had been asking, "Who is Jesus?" Oh, they were following him. Oh, they knew he had great things. Oh, they knew everything about him. They had literally dropped nets or whatever they were doing to take up with him. But you have to know, brothers and sisters, at this point, the question in the back of their mind was, "Who is this man?" And then this happens. And the answer has been given to them, and they don't know what to do with it. They're lost for a second. Moses and Elijah stood talking to Jesus. I've heard it said, I've read it in expositions, that this points to the three points of the Bible that continue to prove the Bible is always correct. Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophets. Christ, the salvation. Later on, it was even said in one of the concordances, in Cruden's concordance, it goes on to say that even beyond that, it proves that Jesus Christ is the cornerstone of all things in salvation and heaven to be found. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We see of three men who have been asking a question, and now they've got the answer, and they don't know what to do with it. The Bible even makes note of it. Let's put up three shelters. One for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. But why? Well, what am I doing? Why? Why is this happening? We now know that something's going to happen, and then suddenly they're enveloped in a cloud and they get to hear the voice of God. I got to tell you right there, that's pretty neat when you look at that. They hear the voice of God saying, "This is my Son whom I've chosen. Listen to Him." Now they've got the rest of the answer. Now the rest of the answer has been given to them so that they can go out and teach it and preach it. Because in just a little while, friends and neighbors, Christ is going to be crucified. We're heading toward that point in time in the Christian calendar. I love Christmas, don't get me wrong. There is nothing greater in my mind at times than seeing a fully lit and fully decorated Christmas tree and all the gifts underneath of it, and hopefully most of them have tags on it with my name. But I love Easter. I love listening to and hearing and going back over and over and over again that story of the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior, His death, His resurrection, and our salvation, our freedom, our prayer answered. Amen.
Amen.
That's where it comes from. Now God has set it in motion. There is a tool out there that I would dearly love to have. I guarantee you my wife will never let me have it because I would be more dangerous than you could ever imagine. But it's called a gasoline torch. The actual name of it is the exothermic petrol acetylene oxygen accelerator. Got it. This thing is a tank that you strap on your back. There's a crank handle here. You pump the pressure up on gasoline, light the torch, and you can cut through a foot thick steel. Oh. Now, to have one of them things, you got to spend about $5,000. That's the other reason I'll never get it. But can you imagine having a tool like that? I would be dangerous. There would be nothing safe from me. Honey, the truck door's frozen. No problem. It is about the most powerful cutting tool that is built right now. It uses gasoline. They use it in shipyards to cut ships apart. And it's nothing compared to the tool of prayer. And when the answer comes, nothing. It pales in comparison. It is nothing to what happens when you get your prayers answered. Flip over to Luke chapter 22 in the 39th verse. You want to see how powerful it is? You want to see how powerful prayer is and what the answer is? We need to start reminding ourselves. We need to come forward, brothers and sisters, as we're approaching that time. We start hearing this story and these words over and over again, and I'll guarantee you, if you're sitting in front of me for the next month, you're going to hear it a lot. I don't want it to be forgotten what our Lord and Savior did when He walked up to that. Luke chapter 22, verse 39. Jesus went out, as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. On reaching the place, He said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation. And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done. An angel appeared from heaven to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. Stop right there. He got his answer. When the answer comes, listen and do. It is one of the most powerful verses in all of the Bible because it confirms Jesus Christ as flesh and blood. He knew what was coming. He was scared. He did not want to suffer this. He knew that his body was going to go through more torment and more pain than we can ever imagine. And he simply asked, take this cup from me. And the Father said, no. And strengthen him. And what do we get from that answered prayer? God bless you, Melvin. We get that. We get the lamb slaughtered, the blood shed, the salvation forevermore locked in. But all we have to do is ask for it, believe in it, and we have it. Nothing else. When the answer comes, listen. Verse 45, he rose from prayer. You should underline that in your Bible when you go back and reread those verses. He rose from prayer after being told, no, my son, you're going to have to do this. He rose from prayer and went back to the disciples. I have asked for a lot of things. That day that I was in Harmony Church of the Brethren on the front pew alone praying that God don't do this. Don't take away from me what I want. I want this back. And he said, no. I have something else in mind for you. It's the same thing he said to each and every one of you that moment that you fell, that moment when you couldn't reach it any further and you were reaching out to him. In the back of your head, in the back of your mind, I know you were waiting for that answer to come forward that I'll take this pain away. But God didn't take it away. He said, I will strengthen you with it. I will show you salvation. I will teach you to walk closer to me. And when this life is over, when this mere dot of time is extinguished, you will be in glory with me forever and ever. Amen. Answer comes. Roger Sims was hitchhiking his way home on a day he would never forget, May 7th. He had a heavy suitcase and he was very tired. He was anxious to take off his Army uniform. Once and for all, he had left. Flashing his sign to the uncarmed car, he lost hope when he saw it was a brand new black sleek Cadillac. He figured ain't nobody going to stop and pick up a dirty walking hitchhiker like me, but the car stopped, the door opened, and he ran to and got in the car, tossed his suitcase in the back, and thanked the man that was in the front seat, handsome and well-dressed, well-groomed. Going home for keeps, the man asked, well, I sure am. Roger responded, well, you're in luck if you're going to Chicago. He said, not quite that far. Do you live in Chicago? And the man said, well, I have a business there. My name is Hanover, and after talking about many things, Roger, who was a Christian, came to know and came to felt this compulsion to witness to this 50-something, apparently super successful businessman about Christ, and so he did. 30 minutes from his home, he really began to lay it on. He said it was now or never. And Roger cleared his throat and said, Mr. Hanover, I'd like to talk to you about something very important. He then proceeded to explain the way of salvation, ultimately asking Mr. Hanover if he would like to receive Christ as his Savior. And to the astonishment of Roger, the Cadillac squealed to a stop at the side of the road. Roger thought he was going to be thrown out, but the businessman moved, bowed his head with tears rolling down, accepted Christ and thanked him, and said to him as he dropped him at his house, "This is the greatest moment of my life." 5 years went by, Roger gets married, has a 2-year-old boy, starts a business of his own. Packing his suitcase for a business trip to Chicago, he decides, "I'm going to stop in and check on Mr. Hanover." And so he found a small white business card that had been given to him so many years before, and when he was there, he looked up Hanover Enterprises, and the receptionist told him he could not see Mr. Hanover, but he could see Mrs. Hanover. And he was confused, but he said, "Okay." He came into an office and he found this woman in her late 50s, keen, sharp-eyed, well-dressed. She extended her hand and said, "You knew my husband." Roger told her how her husband had given him a ride when he was hitchhiking home after the war. "Can you tell me when that was?" she asked. "It was May 7th. 5 years ago, the day I was discharged from the Army. Anything special about that day?" she said. And Roger hesitated. Should he tell her? Should he let her know? He had gone this far. He kept going. He said, "I witnessed to him about the gospel and about the saving grace of Jesus Christ and the great salvation. And he pulled over to the side of the road and wept against the steering wheel and gave his life to Christ that day. And when he looked up, she had collapsed into a chair. She could not stop the sobbing as the tears rolled down her face. I prayed for my husband's salvation for years. And I believed God would save him." And Roger said, "Where is your husband?" Mrs. Hanover looked at him and said, "He is gone. He is dead. He died in a car crash that very day. Hours after he dropped you." Struggling with the words, he never came home. "You see, I thought God had not kept my promise. He had answered me, but I had not listened." Sobbing uncontrollably, she added this, "I stopped living for God 5 years ago because I thought he had not kept his word. And now I found that the answer had been given and I did not listen." Brothers and sisters, when the answer comes, whether you like it or not, listen and accept it. You may not understand it. John and James and Peter, they did not know what was going on. But the question had been answered. This is the Son of God. And it would come to them in the fullness of time after he bled and died. They would know him. They would love him. And they would preach him. And they would give to us that beautiful set of scriptures that we live for, that we love for, that we read constantly. Adam Baum expressed the need for perseverance and listening in prayer. He says, "Pray on when rough and dark your pathway, and you cannot see the light. When every spark of hope has vanished, and bright day has turned to night. Pray on, for God doth surely hear you, noting well each sad request. Pray then in faith, truly believing that he will give you what's best. And the answer comes, though you may not know it, though you may not understand it, it will be for you. Listen." Say amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we are blessed here today, as we are lifted up here today, as we go from here saying prayers and you answer them, let us listen so that we know that when the answer comes, we hear it. In the story of the Transfiguration, you taught us two beautiful things. You taught us that your Son is the Christ. And you also taught us that while we may not understand your answer at that moment, we accept it. We don't hide it. We live it. As we continue to pray, Father, as we continue to lean into that yoke, as we continue to work toward the glory, when we ask and the answer comes, let us not question, but listen and grow and find your will for us being opened little by little. Until at last again we see you. In Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, Amen. Amen. If you have that particular need, as we prepare to close out, prayer cells are open. If you need me to pray, you just simply ask. If you don't know Christ yet, if you need that strengthening, right here. This is your time. As he calls unto you. And what an appropriate hymn.
Please stand and turn to page 479.
Very cool. now, Father, bless this food that we are about to partake. Let it nourish us and keep us. Thank you for the hands that have prepared it and for your bountiful blessings. Let this be a time of fellowship and joy and surroundment and coming together. Father, keep us strong to walk as we turn from here to go. Bring us back together at prayer meeting this week or on the street or next Sunday morning. But if your will has been to call us home, Father, let us join you on that crystal shore. Make us strong to walk. Blessings upon us all now. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, now and forevermore. Amen.